Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and encourage each other in prayer. Well, thanks for popping on in today. And you know, we are beginning this new year of 2020 with a new book study. It's not a new book. It's just a new book study for us. You've heard of this book before, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. I sure hope that you will pick up a copy of it, or maybe you have a copy of it. I, you know, have one from, gosh, it's almost 20 years old now, but you can dust off your copy if it's been a while since you've looked at it. Maybe you never even got to it, or maybe you've never heard of it. That's okay. I would encourage you to go online and order a copy, download a copy of Rick Warren's book called The Purpose-Driven Life, because that's going to help us understand what on earth are we really here for. What is our purpose? You know, beginning of a new year, oftentimes we want to start to figure out, what are my goals? What's the direction I'm heading in? And especially the beginning of a new decade on top of that. So there's a lot of extra pressure this year on thinking about goals and focus and all of those things, the business plans. But if you don't really know your purpose, your true life's purpose, boy, that makes everything else, well, it just kind of pales in comparison. So that's why we've picked up Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, and so glad that you popped in as we begin our study. The book is divided up into 40 chapters. They're very short chapters. They're such that you can read one a day, really just 15 minutes or so. They're really just a few pages, but they're powerful pages each day, and it helps you to understand what on earth you're here for. So let's get started. We're going to review the first 7 days each, the 7 days each call, and so today we're reviewing the first 7 days since we just began our study. In other words, day 1 through 7, chapter 1 through 7. If you haven't got the book, it's okay. If you don't plan to get the book but you just want to listen in, that's okay too, but I will tell you, you'll be missing out on a great deal if you don't get your own copy, download your own copy, and read each chapter as you can. Can't keep up every day, that's okay. You're still welcome to pop on in on these calls, of course, and listen in and think about, well, what do you think about as far as your purpose? Well, starting in chapter 1, our author wastes no time in getting our thinking straight about where to look to discover our purpose. I just love how he puts it in chapter 1. That very first line, it's not about you. I remember almost 20 years ago now reading that. I was going through an airport. I'd heard so much about this book. It was brand new at the time. And I saw in an airport bookstore just racks and racks of the Purpose-Driven Life book. And I thought, well, that's enough nudging that I need. I grabbed a copy, got on my next flight, opened it up, and read the first line. It's not about you. That definitely got my attention. And the author definitely doesn't waste any time getting our attention, because it's so important that we understand, as he writes in this first chapter, you didn't create yourself, so there's no way you can tell yourself what you're created for. If I handed you an invention, he goes on to write, and you had never seen that invention before, you wouldn't know its purpose, and the invention itself wouldn't be able to tell you either. Only the creator or the owner's manual could reveal its purpose. He goes on to write, you cannot arrive at your life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. Thus, the line, it's not about you. You must begin with God, your creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. You know, God has not left us here to guess what our purpose is. He reveals it to us in His owner's manual, the Bible. Any other pathway is a dead end. Our author goes on to reinforce in chapter 2 that none of us is an accident. God planned each of us before we were born because He has a purpose for each of us. When God created each of us, He also gave us unique interests and passions and a driving force in each of our lives. But instead, sometimes we substitute that driving force by thinking we're driven by success or money or possessions or fear or approval, all of which, as our author noted in chapter 3, lead to unused potential, unnecessary stress, and sadly, an unfulfilled life. Instead, we can choose to live a purpose-driven life. A purpose-driven life brings hope. It simplifies our life. It focuses our energy. I just love how our author kind of puts it when he says in day four that focused life. There's nothing quite as potent as a focused life, one lived on purpose. He goes on to write, the men and women who have made the greatest difference in history were the most focused. He says, if you want your life to have impact, focus it. Stop dabbling. Stop trying to do it all. Do less. Prune away even good activities, he writes, and do only that which matters most. He says, never confuse activity with productivity. Never confuse activity with productivity. You can be busy without a purpose, but what's the point, he asks. You know, living a purpose-driven life is also the path to peace, and that's reinforced in our verse of the year, which we found in day three, Isaiah 26:3 is our verse of the year for 2020. Isaiah 26:3 says, you, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. Isaiah 26:3. Well, finally, at the very end of our reading for this week in chapter 7, that's where our author really highlights the area of, well, the focus for the rest of our book study. It's the five areas of purpose that we're going to be focusing on. We discover that in chapter 7, that our ultimate purpose in life is to bring God glory. That's why he created us. And then our author shares five ways we can do that, and these become the five purposes. The first one, and we see this again in chapter 7, number one, we bring glory to God by worshiping him. So we were made to worship God. Worship is our first responsibility to God, and he wants our worship to be motivated by love and thanksgiving and delight, not duty like, oh, I have to do this. No, no, no. We want to delight in worshiping God and have fun with that. That's one purpose that we're going to learn more about. A second purpose is fellowship, you know, to be with others and other believers. And so we bring glory to God by fellowshipping. You know, following Christ is not just a matter of believing. It also includes belonging and learning to love the family of God. And so I pray that you have a local group of believers that you meet with on a regular basis and fellowship with. We're going to learn more about that. Third purpose is we bring God glory by discipleship. What's discipleship? Well, becoming more like Christ, learning more about Jesus, and learning more about how he thinks and feels and acts, and that's growing into spiritual maturity, just becoming more like Jesus. Can we be perfect? No, no. There's only one perfect person, and that was Jesus, and is Jesus. But we can learn more about Jesus and start to adapt and adopt that thinking and those actions, Christ-like character, because that will bring glory to God. We'll find out more about that as we go through this book study. Number four, we will find out more how to bring glory to God through our ministry. In other words, serving others. And I know that you probably have a place where you love to help others and serve others. And each of us has a passion for doing something in our life where it helps other people. And that's called our ministry. Our ministry, each of us has been uniquely designed by God with talents and gifts and skills and abilities, our author writes, and the way that you're wired, as he says, is not an accident. God didn't give you your abilities for selfish purposes. They were given to benefit others. And so when you share, when you help, and you're doing it from a place that, gosh, this is what you do well anyway, a talent, a gift, a strength that you do well anyway, that's called your ministry. We're going to have fun finding out more about that. And lastly, number five, we bring glory to God by telling others about him. That's our mission. When you tell others about Jesus, you don't keep it to yourself. It's a great privilege, our author says, introducing others to Jesus, helping them discover their purpose, and preparing them for their eternal destiny. Those are the five areas that we're going to talk more and more about and read more and more about in the purpose-driven life over the next several weeks. You know, our homes and our neighborhoods and our businesses are our mission fields. where even without words, we can show others what Jesus is like, and that's our mission. You know, the remainder of our time in this book study will focus on each of these five areas, as I've mentioned, in more detail so we can adjust our lives to our true purpose. Each of us is here for just a relatively short period of time on earth, actually, before God takes us to spend eternity with him. That's where we're going to be forever. And he wants us to maximize our time here on earth by understanding our purpose and by fulfilling it every day. And so our author wrote this to help us kind of understand. And he says this at the end of day three. You know, one day you will stand before God, and he will do an audit of your life, a final exam, before you enter eternity. The Bible says, quote, remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. Each of us will have to give a personal account to God. Well, fortunately, God wants us to pass that test. He's such a good God that he has given us the questions in advance that we need to know. So, of course, we can pass the test and spend the rest of our lives in eternity with God. And so this is what he's going to ask. Number one, whenever that day comes, and none of us knows when the day comes that he will call us home, if you will, call us into heaven, he'll ask first, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? He's not going to ask us, what church did you go to, or what are your doctrinal views? The only thing that's going to matter is, did you accept Jesus and what Jesus did for you on the cross? And did you learn to love and trust Jesus? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So that's the first question. What did you do about Jesus? Did you accept him as your Savior? And then secondly, he's going to ask you, so what did you do with what I gave you? In other words, the gifts and talents and the opportunities and the energy and the relationships and the resources that God gave you while here on earth. Did you spend them for yourself, or did you use them for the purposes that God made you? Well, the good news is that preparing you for these two questions is the goal of this book study. So I'm excited to be on this journey with you because we have embarked on the most important journey of our lives. Well, thank you for listening. I pray that you receive the message from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.